This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and I'm so excited that you've let me come into your space. And today we're beginning a brand new series that I've never taught before called How to Overcome the Fiery Trial of Faith. During life, we experience fires for different reasons. We need to know how to thrive in the middle of the fire, and we need to learn how to overcome the fiery trial of faith. Anyway, you're just going to love this. It's a five-part series. It will just strengthen you to go through whatever you're going through and to get through it in power and in victory. And this five-part series also comes with a study guide, and the study guide is loaded. It's nearly like a book by itself, and you will love the study guide. And guess what? We're finally offering you the RIV, the Renner Interpretive Version of 1st and 2nd Peter. Maybe you already ordered James and Jude. Well, now, volume number 2 is ready, and it's 1st and 2nd Peter. It is a conceptual interpretation of the Greek New Testament with footnotes and commentary. And my friends, it is such a treasure. When I got my copy, of course, I wrote it, but when I actually received it and held it in my hand and looked at it, I was amazed at how much revelation and information is in this book. And the RIV is just amazing, and I want you to have one. But you can order all these things by going online or by giving us a call. And today I'm going to be teaching from the RIV as we begin to see how to overcome the fiery trial of faith. And we're going to begin in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. But I want to remind you that if you need prayer, we are here for you. And we want to pray for you right now. I mean that. So just call the number on the screen. It's there for you. In fact, write it down. Save that number so that if you ever get in a fix and you need somebody to pray with you, that's a number you can call for help. We are here to pray for you. Or if you would prefer, send us an email. And when we hear for you, we're going to pray for you. We're going to keep praying for you. And by the way, if you're a partner, I want to say thank you for being a partner. And if you're not a partner yet, please pray about becoming a part of our wonderful partner family that is enabling us to take the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. And I want to say thank you to those of you who are partners, and thank you to you who are going to become a part of our family. But reach for your Bible. We always use the Bible in this program. And this week, we're going to begin in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, and I'm going to be teaching from the RIV. And when we come to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it says in the King James Version, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." Now, that's what the King James Version says, but when you dive into the Greek, oh my, there is so much in the Greek text that is not carried into the King James Version, and that's why we have the RIV. But again, the King James Version says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ." The RIV says, "I am Peter, an apostle and personal representative of Jesus Christ." And the reason it is interpreted that way is explained in footnote number 1, which says, "The words apostle and personal representative are an interpretation of the Greek word apostolos, the word for an apostle, which is a compound of the word apo and the word stelo. The preposition apo means away, and the word stelo means to send. But when these two words are compounded, they form the word apostolos. And although it has a wide range of significant meanings, it historically was used to portray a high-ranking, specially commissioned representative of someone of great rank. Here, it speaks of one sent by Jesus Christ himself as an envoy to fulfill his specific commission." And that's why the RIV translates it, "I am Peter, an apostle and personal representative of Jesus Christ." But then, The King James Version goes on to say, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. But this word strangers in verse 1 is very important. Now, if you read the King James Version, it's simply the word strangers. But when you read it in the Greek text, actually there are two words here, but both of them are not really carried into the King James Version. So let me read this to you from the RIV. It says, I'm Peter, an apostle and personal representative of Jesus Christ, and I'm writing to the personally chosen and prestigiously elected who are living like foreigners in a world where they have no natural connections. Now, all of that really is in the Greek text, but the King James Version just translates it as the word strangers. But as we see in footnote number 2, the words personally chosen and prestigiously elected who are living like foreigners in a world where they have no natural connections are an interpretation of two Greek words. And the first word pictures one who calls out, selects, elects, or personally chooses someone for an assignment, position, or task. For example, it could depict to personally choose someone for the army or for a specific purpose. And in history, this word was used to picture the election of men for military service, but it also denoted special soldiers who were chosen for a specific assignment. Additionally, this word was used for politicians who were chosen or elected to hold a public position or to execute a special job on behalf of a community or a larger body of citizens. But in every case where this word is used, it portrays the election or selection of individuals, and it conveys the great privilege and honor of being chosen and the responsibility placed on those who are chosen to walk, act, and live in a way that is honorable to their calling. Now, that's the first word that is used in the Greek text. But I told you there's a second word. And the second word is a Greek word which in the original text was used by ancient writers to describe one who comes into a city or land to reside there from a foreign country. Thus, he is a foreigner who's living in a land where he has no natural connections. Now, all of that is actually in the Greek text in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, and that's why the RIV says, I'm Peter, an apostle and personal representative of Jesus Christ, and, now here it is, I'm writing to the personally chosen and prestigiously elected who are living like foreigners in a world where they have no natural connections and who have been scattered like seed throughout the Roman provinces of Pontia, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And these believers were really suffering fire as they were being persecuted for their faith. But notice the RIV says, you've been scattered like seed. Well, if you read it in the King James Version, it says, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. But again, the RIV says scattered like seed. And as we see in footnote number 3, the words scattered like seed are an interpretation of a form of the word diaspora, which is a Greek word that depicts the random scattering of seed. In the ancient world, seed was either planted in a nice neat row, one seed at a time, or it was randomly scattered by a sower who would reach into a satchel of seed, grab a handful of it, and begin to randomly scatter it across a field, a little here and a little there. And in this epistle, Peter was addressing believers, mostly Jewish, because he had an apostleship to the Jews, and his readers fit mostly into this demographic. But like seed, they had been randomly scattered throughout the regions of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And the word scattered refers either to a community that's been scattered over many generations, or it could picture an abrupt displacement that was disruptive, chaotic, and unexpected. And we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, that after the death of Stephen, that there was an intense persecution against the church at Jerusalem, which resulted in many believers being scattered, and that is the same Greek word, the Greek word diaspora. They were being scattered into the lands of Judea and Samaria, and the scattering eventually resulted in many relocating to faraway places such as Pontia, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, And Peter was predominantly addressing Jewish believers, not simply Jewish people at large, but Jewish believers whose scattering may have begun at about the time of Stephen's death. All of that is in this word scattered in verse 1. Then we come to verse 2. And in verse 2, the King James Version says, "Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." That's the King James Version. The RIV says, "I'm talking about those who've been personally elected, handpicked, summoned, and called out, chosen by the dominating prognosis of God the Father. That is, by His long-term plan that's being carried out by means of the ongoing, never-ending, sanctifying work of the Spirit that leads to a life of obedience and living in submission to Him with the goal to carry out His commands." Wow. These are they that have been completely cleansed and purified from all guilt and shame by the sprinkling of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you. That is supernatural favor that empowers you to be and to do all that's needed. And peace that brings cessation to wars in your life, closure to conflicts, and the removal of distractions. This peace allows a time for rebuilding and reconstruction. It ushers in prosperity, fosters the rule of order in the place of chaos, and produces a calm inner stability that results in the ability to conduct yourself peacefully, even in the midst of circumstances that would normally be traumatic or upsetting. May this grace and this peace and all they entail multiply and proliferate until they abundantly overflow in your life. Wow. That is the RIV of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. But let's go back to this and dig in. Again, the King James Version says, "Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." Well, again, the RIV says, "I'm talking about those that's been personally elected, handpicked, summoned, called out, and chosen." That's a translation of the word elect. But then it goes on to say, "by the dominating prognosis of God the Father." And footnote number 7 explains why this word is translated prognosis. And footnote number 7 says, "The word prognosis," are you ready for this? "is a translation of a form of the Greek word prognosis." That is a Greek word. A compound of the preposition pro and the word ginosko. The preposition pro means before in terms of time, or specifically as happening before some occurrence or event. The second half of the compound word is ginosko, which pictures knowledge. But compounded into a single word, it means to know before, to know in advance, to pre-know, or even to predetermine. In English, the word prognosis is used to forecast a medical condition or outcome, but it can also be used by experts of all kinds to make prognoses based on facts, research, or studies, such as a financial prognosis, a weather prognosis, or a climate prognosis. This word prognosis in Greek depicts God's advanced knowledge about a future event. And some scholars state the word prognosis is not just information God knows in advance, but that it can additionally depict an outcome that God predetermines in advance. All of that is in this word prognosis, which in the King James Version is called foreknowledge. But let's continue. The King James Version says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit." The RIV says, "That is, by His long-term plan that's being carried out by means of the ongoing, never-ending, sanctifying work of the Spirit." And the reason it is translated "ongoing, never-ending, sanctifying work" is explained in footnote number 9, which says, "The words ongoing, never-ending, sanctifying work are an interpretation of a form of the Greek word hagiasmos, derived from the word hagios, which means consecrated, separated, or holy. But in the form hagiosmos, as Peter used it in this verse, it depicts the all-inclusive, ongoing process that's involved in order for one to progressively become more consecrated. Thus, although every person who comes to Christ is justified by God as holy the moment he or she is placed into Christ, the work of sanctification that leads one to become more and more consecrated is an open-ended process that never ceases as long as that individual is in his or her present earthly state. And that's why it is translated the ongoing, never-ending, sanctifying work. Say amen. Once the Holy Spirit begins to work with us, He keeps working with us until we reach completion. And it goes on to say that leads to a life of obedience and living in submission to Him with the goal to carry out His commands. Well, the King James Version says simply unto obedience, but the RIV is quite expansive. It says a life of obedience and living in submission to Him with the goal to carry out His commands. Why is it interpreted this way? Well, that is explained in footnote number 11, which says, the words obedience and living in submission to Him with the goal to carry out His commands are interpreted from the Greek word hupokoie, a compound of the preposition hupo and akoie. The word hupo means under. Please listen to this. This is very important. The word hupo means under, and in this word is a picture of one with a subservient attitude and who is under authority. The word akoie, which is the second part of the word, is a noun meaning ear, but it most often appears as the verb akouo, which means I hear. But compounded as the word hupokoie, it portrays an individual or a group of individuals who are hupo. That is, they're under someone else's authority, and akoie, with his or her ear, they are listening to what that superior is speaking to them. After listening and taking the instructions to heart, this person or group of people then carries out the orders of the superior. Thus, the word hupokoia, which here is translated as the word obedience in the King James Version, this word that Peter used in this verse tells us that those who are obedient to God, number one, are submitted to authority. Number two, they listen to what God is saying. And number three, they carry out the orders that have been given to them. The word hupokoia is often translated simply as obedience or submission. But again, it pictures one under submission to authority who attentively opens his ear, either physical or spiritual, to listen to his superior and then obeys what he has been told to do. Consequently, those that are disobedient are not submitted to authority. They do not have open ears to hear, and they do not carry out what God is instructing them to do. All of that is in this word, obedience. Amazing. And that is why the RIV translates it, a life of obedience, living in submission to Him with the goal to carry out His commands. The verse continues to say in the King James Version. Are you ready for this? Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. But the RIV says, these are they that have been completely cleansed and purified from all guilt and shame by the sprinkling of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Again, the RIV says, these are they that have been completely cleansed and purified from all guilt and shame by the sprinkling of the shed blood of Jesus. And my friends, that describes you. You have been purified from all guilt and shame. And as we see in footnote number 12, the words completely cleansed and purified from all guilt and shame by the sprinkling are a form of a Greek word which denotes a sprinkling of blood for purification from sin and guilt. This word is used by biblical writers to describe the sprinkling of blood of the sacrifices in the Old Testament which was for the forgiveness and the purification and freedom from guilt. However, we find in Hebrews 9, 13, and 14 that the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ was for the purging of the conscience and the permanent freedom from the guilt of sin. The first sprinkling of blood is applied in a person's life when he calls Jesus the Lord of his life. That's what happened to you when you got saved. However, there is a continual sprinkling of blood that occurs in a Christian's life as he confesses his sins in accordance with 1 John 1:9 for continuous cleansing, which is a part of the ongoing sanctifying work of the Spirit. In truth, Jesus bled and died, pouring out his eternal blood once and for all, that he freshly applies his blood on a regular basis for the continuous cleansing of those who confess sin in agreement with 1 John 1:9. Wow. And that's why this is translated in the RIV. These are they who have been completely cleansed and purified from all guilt and shame by the sprinkling of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. My friends, that is just amazing. And we're just barely getting started in verse 2. We've got so much more to cover. But my friends, these were believers that were really in the fire. They were dealing with rough times, but they were saved. They'd been liberated. They'd been empowered. The work of God's grace was working in their lives, and it's working in your life too. And if you feel like you're in the fire, God has given you everything that you need to get through it and to get through it in victory. That can be your story. I'm out of time, but I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you.
Are you in the middle of a fiery trial, wondering whether your faith will stand the test? This series will show you how to remain strong, stable, and spiritually refined through every hardship you face. In Rick Renner's new 5-part series, How to Overcome the Fiery Trial of Faith, discover how grace and peace empower you in tough times, what it means to be God's chosen in a foreign land, the power of your protected eternal inheritance, how fire proves the genuineness of your faith. Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $11, this teaching will remind you that you never have to face a trial on your own. In addition to this teaching series, you can order Rick's book, The RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter, a parallel study Bible derived from the original Greek text. Order today. Don't miss this special offer. The bundle of the series, How to Overcome the Fiery Trial of Faith, starting at just $11, and the book, The RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter, 25% off for a special introductory price of $28.50. Call the number on your screen now or go online to renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and I am in the production fulfillment part of the Tulsa Ministry headquarters, and I just love to come here because I see what people are ordering. For example, here, someone has just ordered the 5-part series called How to Have Peace of Mind in Troubled Times. I know this person just became a partner because we're sending them our personal testimony, which is called Unlikely. We always send that to anyone who becomes a partner. And then a person here just ordered World Before the Flood. That's 15 parts, and this person just ordered Easter, the rest of the story. But I just love to come here and see all these teaching resources. My friends, we send them out by 10,000s every month and every year. It is just amazing, and it's a great honor that anyone would want our teaching. It's very humbling, and I'm very grateful that God is using our ministry and our teaching to strengthen lives around the world, and our partners are the ones helping us to do it. We're told in Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many. And I know that is the assignment on my life. It's to take the trusted teaching of the Bible to people around the world. And right now, we're trying to pay off this facility so we can release more funds to taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. We've already paid off 78% of our ministry expansion project, but we'd like to finish it. And if you're not a part of the giving team yet, today I want to ask you to join our giving team so we can pay off this facility and release all those funds into taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth.
Well, today we have covered a lot of material, and this is just the first in this 5-part series, which is called How to Overcome the Fiery Trial of Faith. My friends, you've been prestigiously called by God, and the work of the Holy Spirit is right now doing its process in you to bring you to a place of consecration and sanctification, and God's given you everything you need to get through anything that you're facing. But this series will really encourage you. It comes with a study guide, and I want to remind you that we're also offering you the RIV, a 1st and 2nd Peter. It's just been released. And my friends, I want you to be sure to order your copy. And you can order all these things by going online, or you can call the number on the screen. If you don't want to order anything but you need prayer, also call that number, because we're here to pray for you. And 1 John 5:14 and 15 promises that if we pray anything according to His will, He hears us, and we will have the petitions which we make of Him. Well, when you reach out to us, we will pray according to His will. That means we're going to pray scripturally, biblically. We're going to pray correctly. God's going to hear us, and Jesus is going to move mightily in your life and do exactly what needs to be done. So please call the number or send us an email and let us know how we can pray for you. Now, when we come back tomorrow, we're finally going to get to the subject of a fire that tests our faith. It's going to be very, very good. And you're going to find that God's given you everything you need to come through the fire. It's going to be good. But Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus for the work of the Holy Spirit in our life and for the wonderful Word of God. We embrace everything You've given us, and we declare by faith we can get through anything we're going through in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll see you in the next program. But remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive You as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank You that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve You as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Renner Ministries is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through every available media avenue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Discover the many ways you can help us make a difference in lives around the world with the Word of God. We invite you to partner with us in teaching, strengthening, and rescuing lives for the glory of God. Together, we can make a difference that will last throughout eternity. This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.